Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilayam, the most happening place on the planet. And last Thursday on this hour, we started a wonderful discussion, a beautiful recall of time spent with Bhagwan in Kodaikanal in the year 1998. And we had three members of that privileged group share their memories, their moments and their memorable lessons with us. Brother Nitin Acharya, Niranjan and N. Karthik. Brother Nitin Acharya, after completing his Master's in Business Administration in Bhagwan's University, currently serves in the Publication Division of the Sri Satya Sai Sadhana Trust. Brother Niranjan is a faculty member in the Department of Management and Commerce in the Prashantinilayam campus and also the warden of the Sri Satya Sai Senior Boys Hostel. And the third alumnus who was part of the discussion is Brother N. Karthik, who too did his MBA in Prashantinilayam like the previous two, and since 2000 has been serving in Bhagwan Super Speciality Hospital in Whitefield, Bangalore. In the previous episode, all three of them started off their discussion with stories of how each member became a part of this exclusive group and how each person's journey was so different and so profound. And then they went on to give us an idea of how it is to travel with Bhagwan and also live with Swami under the same roof in Kodaikanal and the daily routine there, the experience of the first day of being with Bhagwan in Kodaikanal and so on. In today's episode, they continue from where they left off and now they describe for us the beauty and sublimity of some of the interactive sessions with Bhagwan inside Sai Shruti, Bhagwan's abode in Kodaikanal. So that is what we will listen to in this last leg of Thursday Live, coming to you straight from the studios of Radio Sai.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
So welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside, and to the second part of our discussion on the deep bliss of being with Sai in Kodai. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and as I just mentioned, over now to the session with Brother Nitin Acharya, Niranjan and N. Karthik. So Niranjan, you've traveled for so many years. How is the routine like in Kodaikanal? Just to give the listeners an idea of what happens there.
I think Kodai is a place where you have a lot of time with Swami physically. A lot of time Swami, you know, is in presence with the students. And morning it used to be very cold there. And Swami had also told us that I am also giving you hot water. Don't worry, you can take bath in hot water in the morning. And there used to be a boiler and all that, continuous hot water. And so there were bathrooms at the top also and down, ground floor. And boys used to finish by 5:30 and we used to assemble in the first floor. That is just next to Swami's door. I mean, just imagine, we were like just outside Swami's door. Swami's room is inside. We were outside.
Yes.
And some boys used to snore.
Oh.
Yeah. So one Swami asked me also, hey, snoring karta hai, like that.
Do you snore?
So, yeah, I probably snored. I don't know whether I snore, right? So, some people have told me I do. So the thing is, and I got this sinusitis problem for quite some time. Now Swami's grace is not there, but those days it was there. And you know, when you have this nasal block, you snore maybe, I don't know. And Swami told also, when Swami used to come out, you know, he used to be fresh like a flower, like a rose which has bloomed. And then Swami used to say, used to ask some personal questions to some one or two students. We were getting ready, we are all sitting there. And then Swami said, now I'll go and check if breakfast is ready. All of you be here. And then 6 o'clock he goes down. And then 6:05 or 6:10 he, from there down, he'll go and check everything. We don't know what used to happen. He used to talk to the people around, probably. And then after that, you know, we used to wait for that one call. Hey, boys. That's the word. Hey, boys. You know, or boys. Mm. So all of us used to go in a line. So breakfast is 6:15, 6:30. You have lunch at 10:15, which we never had the experience. And then we had, Swami used to go out for darshan. After our breakfast, Swami, we'll have a quick session with Swami, breakfast. After that, there is no sitting session. You know, our Professor Anil Kumar used to nicely call it as post-breakfast session, pre-lunch session, post-tiffin session, pre-dinner session. Mm-hmm. There were four sessions per day with Swami. So after breakfast, we have a quick session and Swami will say, now you go for a walk. So we'll go around the lake for a walk, which is probably about 3 or 4 kilometers.
7 kilometers.
Seven kilometers. Long walk.
Full round if you take.
Full round, yeah. So some of us, you know, used to have a half round and come back. And then, so we'll come back and then we'll wash our feet and come inside and sit. And Swami will finish his darshan rounds and then go for the interview. And then he'll come. And then we'll already be seated there and Swami will come and sit there.
When Swami was actually giving darshan, that was the only time we were not having darshan. We used to go for.
Exactly. Yeah. Very nicely put it.
Yeah.
So then Swami used to come and then we used to have a... That's the second session, which is called the pre-lunch session. And initially 2 days, we didn't know actually this kind of schedule, right? So we ate.
Okay.
And he ate breakfast very well, like we do in the hostel. All the boys eat, no, we trash. So we ate. And at 10 o'clock, 10:15, lunch. My goodness, what is going on here? So Swami said, ha, chalo, finish, lunch karo. So after that, we used to go and sit there. And, you know, they used to serve some group of boys and some teachers and all that. They used to do the serving thing. And Swami, there's a beautiful, we'll come to the dining, signing session a little later.
Yeah.
There's a whole learning in that beautiful experience of what happens during dining. So after that, Swami will retire for some time. And then Swami used to come anytime after 12. You know, we used to sleep wherever we, you know, take some small break, small, you know, rest. So we used to lie down and sleep. And Swami sometimes used to come and, you know, when he used to come, all these boys will be lying down. And Swami once, you know, he was coming down and I just got up because I heard some sound and I got up. And Swami said, just told me to, you know, not make noise.
Oh.
Swami just did this. He told, don't make noise.
Gestures.
Next to me was one student. Okay. One of our boys was. And Swami was wondering, who is he? Swami was not able to make out physically who is he. So he went and looked at him like this. You know, he bent and he wanted to see his face. It was so nice to see that kind of thing.
So cute, you know. It's just like you're living with the Lord in his home. And right. It is like just one family member.
Yeah, I mean, it is like just like that, you know, he's our best friend or he's our father or mother or something like that. So it's, everybody has a different relationship. And it is so close.
I remember even, I think one of the youngest members of the trip, he was still in school at that time. Rohit Dhawar, as he was mentioning, when he was sick and he could not come down for a session, Swami arranged for milk to be sent up. And when they were taking the milk up, he said, that's not the way how you should be giving. It was hot milk. He said, first you will have to cool it down to a temperature when, you know, that is comfortable for him to drink. And then Swami personally went and then gave him the milk for him to have. I mean, that was the kind of...
Personal kind of attention. Also, I remember this because after 2-3 days, you know, its food is rich. It's not like, obviously, you know, hostel is very good food, but that is much richer. Okay. So, the boys sometimes don't understand how much to eat, right? So, initially, it's all excitement and then we used to eat and all that. And, you know, I had some stomach pain or some problem. And for one day, I was told to stay. Swami gave instructions, don't come down. You stay. Stay in the first floor, wherever our, you know, our rooms are. He says, stay there. And Swami used to send 3 times curd rice.
Oh, okay.
All 3 sessions, I would have only curd rice because of stomach problem.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he used to ensure that, you know, curd rice goes at the same, at the proper time. And then I was just...
resting.
Yeah, he was just resting. So he told me one day, you go there. I mean, this is a most wonderful thing what you see in Swami as to... the minute things he takes care.
I mean, learning at various levels. So one thing is not to get too excited. Just because you got good food, not to get too excited. And even if something happens, he's there to sort of take care. And, you know, especially he's your period of rehabilitation.
Yeah, exactly.
He's taking care.
And in the one of the previous visits, Swami himself, no, because this stomach upset case is...
very common.
Common. So Swami himself, he went to kitchen and prepared one Mirialu rasam.
Oh, okay.
He himself prepared.
That is a paper
and,
rasam.
You know, childhood, that his story, it is there, that Swami is... means
he used to prepare and Kondama Rajagaru used to
So same, it was a repeat in Kodai. And Swami distributed to everyone, not just those who were affected, but everyone. So everyone got the benefit of having rasam made by none other than Swami himself.
It's really like a mother, no? Swami says you can never understand, you can't understand one mother's love, how can you understand my love? But you see some of those glimpses there.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So just to finish my schedule I was talking about, and then 10:30 lunch. Okay. So then we take rest or we take a break, and then Swami retires and Swami comes back. 1:30 or 2 o'clock again, it's afternoon tiffin. And some of us used to skip that. But Swami should not, in a sense, physically know that you're skipping. Hey, nahi khata hai. So he feels bad.
Why are you not eating?
So what do? You take the serving duty on that time. After a few days, you realized 3-4 times you cannot have. You put on so much weight, especially people like me. So I thought, okay, the best thing is take the serving during the tiffin time. Tiffin time, you take serving, have tea, and you're finished. You're through. So again, because after tiffin, we have a post-tiffin session, and then Swami will go to his room for some time, come back, then we'll have bhajans.
Yes.
At 4:30 or then after bhajans, you know, sometimes Swami gives discourses, sometimes he comes back, then dinner session, the fourth session. And that will go until 6:30. Again, dinner at 6:30. So, it was like it's all packed up so tightly. So, all the time you have with Swami.
I mean, there is a lot of, plenty of everything. Plenty of things of this world and the other world.
Yeah, everything.
Food for stomach as well as food for heart and mind.
Food for soul.
Yeah,
everything.
He used to give the highest philosophies.
Yes.
And at the same time, he used to talk about etiquette, or small, small things. How do you serve? And how do you sit? You know, how do you look at Swami and not get distracted? You know, all these small, small things, even with each other. Swami said you should not talk loudly. He told us very clear. So we used to like whisper. The whole thing is when Swami is retired in the room, we used to only whisper. So that is how Swami taught us. You know, that sense control, right? Self-control. Even though you can talk, but talk softly, talk minimum what is required.
Yes.
And even the kinds of things which I missed out in the gifts that Swami had bestowed on us, no? So thoughtful, each and every one of them. Because it used to be, you know, dark in the night and he didn't want others to get disturbed. Now, if we want to go somewhere in the dark, we would definitely need a light. So he gave us a small torch light which had a keychain attached to it. So, you know, if we needed to go somewhere in the night, without stepping on others or disturbing others by putting on the light. So you could use the torchlight. And he also gave us a small alarm clock, which had a unique, I had not seen one such before. There was a switch for a light.
Oh, light.
For a light. So in the dark, you could see the time. You know, that is one thing you would like to know. No? What is it, what time, even if it doesn't ring, if it's close to the time, you know, when you want to get up, you would like to get up. So you could... Actually, you know, there is a small bulb in that alarm clock, which I'm sure all of us would still have. So thoughtful of him to have bestowed these gifts on us. And even about these food sessions, one thing that comes to my mind is, of course, there was a lot of food on the plate, and if you had to do justice to it, it's going to take a lot of time. But you know what? There was always, on the other side, you have on one side the best of food. But then Swami finishes off his food in a trice. And before you realize it, he is waiting for us, no, to talk to us. So everybody is in a hurry to actually finish the food. So you can't eat too much. So I mean, you get to realize that soon. And also there are some elders, some guests who come. So you can't be found eating for half an hour when others have already finished in 10 minutes, and then everybody is waiting for you to finish. So, you know, you can't have that either. So the etiquette, How what you learn, like he said, what to serve where in the plate. It was a plate which had partitions. So if a rasam should go in a particular partition in the plate, it should go there only. Not a drop should spill over onto another partition, which is meant for, say, a sabji or anything else. And how you should serve. And there will be guests, there will be women who also are part of the of Swami's invitees. So when you had to serve, how you maintain decorum, distance, and how you conduct yourself in their presence, is Swami was very particular about. And there's so many things that we got to learn. Even when you did not want to be served a portion, how you should convey it to the person who's serving also was something which we learned. There was one of us who was a bit casual in probably, we wouldn't take it amiss, you know, when we wanted to serve something onto his plate. He just, there was probably a hint of a smirk on his face, but, I mean, basically he just wanted to say that he did not want to have that item. But Swami was not happy. He said that is not the way you convey to a person that you do not want. Because the person who has come to serve you, you have to treat him well. You cannot be dismissive when you say, you know, you don't want to be served a portion. You will have to convey it with a smile on your face. And he was so observant of us. I mean, I think you were also mentioning that just as it is a chance for us to be close to Swami, Swami also is observing us from very close quarters. And that is our greatest good fortune. So, you know, to be corrected and chiseled by Swami himself, that was one of the most wonderful opportunities we had during
the
trip.
Fantastic observation. I mean, a lesson there, like when someone is serving you, even if for whatever reason you do not want that service, but with how much dignity and politeness you should treat that person. And everyone has to be treated, every human being has to be given that dignity, and more so if someone is actually coming and serving you. And I think that is such a great lesson in service for all of us.
I mean, it's a lesson for life, I think, for everybody.
Yes.
If you see these things.
Yeah.
And when you go to a hotel, like, you know.
Exactly.
So, even there, he's a human being. So, yeah. Give him that respect.
Yeah. I mean, just because you're paying for it, there doesn't mean that you can treat him however correct. You want.
Every bit of it was, a learning experience for us. Sometimes when you have gravy items or rasam, no? It used to be left behind in the plate even after we had finished our food. Then Swami used to say, you know, how you can not waste even that remnant in the plate without it being offensive to the people around. I mean, you don't really, if you want to eat even that rasam in that plate, but, you know, you cannot obviously lift the plate to your lips in the presence of other guests and devotees. So he used to say, slightly tilt your plate, no, so that the liquid collects to one corner. Then use a spoon and take out even that remnant liquid from that plate. So it was a lesson on how, you know, you should not waste
yes.
what is given to you with love.
And how you can conduct yourself and do justice to the situation and to the food in a very dignified manner.
Yeah, and also you should not get up when others are eating on the same
yes.
table.
Yes.
You know, you should wait for others, whether yes. they are elders or whether they are our own colleagues,
yes.
students, our own friends, but yeah. wait for them.
Yes.
Even while pulling the chair, you should not make sound.
Don't make sound while pulling chair.
While getting
oh,
up.
Yeah.
And in fact, I remember, now I'm remembering that, you know, we used to have Brahmarpanam. We used to wait till Swami gives us the indication after the food is first serving is done. And then we'll all fold our hands and do Brahmarpanam. Swami is to finish his food. By the time Brahmarpanam is over, his food is over.
Yeah.
Swami is to eat very little.
Yeah.
And then Swami is to walk. I still remember, I was doing Brahmarpanam not with folded hands. That day I had put my elbows on the table and I was probably holding my face or something like that. Or putting my hands to my forehead, maybe catching my head or something like that. I don't know why. Mm. Unconscious.
Mm.
And then Swami comes and suddenly Swami hits me. You know, on my shoulder.
Oh, okay.
Atha chai kodu atla.
Oh.
Don't do that.
During Brahmarpanam, be really serious when you are praying.
Yeah, exactly.
Lord.
Don't have that kind of a different posture.
Mm. So casual about Brahmarpanam.
Casual about Brahmarpanam. I mean, maybe, you know, some people do it unintentionally, unconsciously this happens. But then Swami was so particular about each of these things.
Mm. I think a prayer like Brahmarpanam, you do it every day, so it becomes like a routine and, you know, you take it so casually.
That's right. So Swami said, maybe, you know, do it with a lot of feeling.
Lot of feeling.
Wow. That's what, it's a beautiful, beautiful lessons. Every small thing. And then when you have these sessions before lunch or whatever, or before dinner, sometimes, you know, very looks like a casual talk about some politics, but there'll always be deeper lessons
deeper
in
lessons.
That.
Yes.
To the highest philosophical truths.
Yes.
So it gamut of topics.
Yes. The whole trip, if you see, it is all about messages being conveyed, but it has been conveyed in so many interesting formats that the message really remains in your mind. You know, some messages are coming as you're eating, some messages are coming as you're singing, some messages are coming even as you're going out for an outing. So that is the beauty of Kodai, isn't it? The Sadguru has created this beautiful arena so that the lessons come in a manner that they just remain in you.
Yeah, that important message or the divine assurance which he gives in many of his formal discourses also, I am in you, around you, above you, behind you.
Yeah.
So Kodai is, there is a more probability that suddenly is behind you. Like in case of...
Yeah.
And you have to be very alert as that boy who was, you know, caught making a very abrupt gesture at the person serving. You have to be very careful.
Mm.
So more probability is that he will be behind you at such event only.
And actually Kodai, literally you don't know when he'll come from behind you or beside you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, especially when you are serving, I mean, or you are having Brahmarpanam, We are all closing our eyes. We don't know where he is.
And that bungalow layout is such that there are so many entrances, doors. You don't know from where someone will come. Suddenly he will appear and then you will be perplexed.
You can be sleeping, he can come. Yeah. You can be dressing up and he can come.
Yeah, in fact, it happened.
Oh, is it?
Because I was telling you the morning 5:30, right? We all get ready, 5:40, and then we are there in the first floor and the Swami sofa. He comes and sits there. And in fact, few of us were, inside our so-called, that room where we keep the luggage and the sleeping bags and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Then we were just getting dressed. We were getting ready. And then Swami just opens the door and comes inside. And it seems later on I heard that Swami came out without making a sound.
Oh.
Totally silently he came out. And then he just put his finger on his own lips to the other boys that keep quiet. So he just wanted to go there and see what's happening, like a child.
He's the silent witness and the silent guardian.
Yeah,
silent master.
In fact, when once after the walk, I still remember that very vividly. After the walk, see, we all used to be crazy about sitting in the front.
Yes.
What else is there, right?
Yes.
So in fact, what Nitin or Karthik, I think Karthik was saying about telling about the food. First few sessions we look at the food. But after that, we know that Swami is like finishing and then we want to go there and sit in the first position, right?
The attention is only on that, actually.
Yeah. And I learned a lesson personally because it was not intentional, because I was crazy about it, because I really craved for this before I came here, right?
Mm.
It was in the topmost of my mind that every time I have to grab an opportunity, I'll grab it. Because you don't know, like Nitin was saying, we don't know whether after 2 years, what will happen. Two years, a very short period. Yes. Here, time flies, no?
Mm.
And once after the walk, I came. I thought, I was right in the front. We was coming in a line from backside. And Swami normally used to be in the drawing room. After our walk, we came on. Normally, it's my interview room. The interview is still going on. We wash our feet in the bathroom and then come and we sit in the drawing room. So that after that, Swami comes. So I just, in all my exuberance of going and washing my feet, I opened the door. The door was closed. The door to the dining hall was closed. And Swami's table is just next to the door. So when I opened the door and just, walked inside, I saw Swami right there sitting next to on the table.
Oh, my God.
So, this incident was, Kode trip was, not a lot of incidents are there. Like, we're very happy to have that kind of beautiful Swami and always smiling. But I faced that incident. In a sense, I got it. So the moment he saw me, he blasted me. Buddhi ledu. Endukatla vastavu. Go back, he told. So I didn't know what to do actually. How can I go back? Because all people are behind me actually. There's a whole train behind me. Because all coming to wash our feet. And then sit there. So I quietly went back. And that was a starting point of my personal, this kind of, going through this churning process. And after that, those next 2-3 days, Swami was not looking at me. And I was feeling very bad. What mistake I've done? Just because once I was exuberantly trying to come and, there's a lesson I learned much later. That we should probably, in this also, we should not be selfish. Why you're going to think of yourself? Because so many students are there. You should give a chance to others. I remember in 2005, I never even sat once at Swami's feet and did Pada Seva because we were research scholars. We had finished our PhD. And then this struck me that students should be given the chance, not me. Because I never went forward because I didn't feel like doing that. So that incident, after that, 2 days, 3 days, and we used to have a parlance like out of form, right? Our students, we used to have that. And then after that, Swami was not looking at me. And after the second day, Swami is very compassionate.
Okay.
The third day, Swami's, in fact, I cried actually. I sobbed in the bathroom. I still remember that. And Swami told that. Swami said, Papa, edustaru, bathroom lo edustaru. He's crying in the bathroom. See, Swami even knows that kind of, every thought, every feeling, he knows. He knows what we are. Every thought, every feeling, every action, he knows. So that was they hit me like anything, and then Swami was compassionately, telling this and smiled at me. And all that happened. So that was one of the most beautiful lessons for me actually.
When you think about it now, when you connect the dots, and because of that experience in 98, 2003 and 2005, when you went, you were completely okay to give the chance to others, right?
Absolutely. I didn't feel anything because I felt that it is my duty to do that. Because as a research scholar, we were senior, so-called senior students or whatever. They're all junior to us. And many of them are first time, So we felt that it is not good on my part. It is very selfish to do that. So you feel happy that you are there with Swami. That's it.
Amazing. I think many times in our lives, some of these moments with Swami, apparently you have not done any wrong, but you know, something happens and at that point in time it doesn't make any sense to you. But no moment with the avatar is insignificant. And I think it's same for all of us. When you think about any of those moments, there are deep lessons, and perhaps you connect the dots sometime after 2 years, sometime after 10 years, sometimes probably take a janma to connect a dot. But I think everything has its own relevance. Amazing. Karthik, talking about these sessions, and you had the chance to go as a member of the bhajan group, you are already singing. So what memories do you have of being a bhajan singer in Kodaikanal?
Here will come some of our jovial moments.
Yeah, okay. We'll start, then we'll join.
Yeah. Actually, only two of us bhajan singers were selected for this particular Kodai trip. So, for a typical bhajan session which had about 10 or 12 bhajans, each of us would end up singing 5 bhajans each. But this was also an opportunity when others used to try their hand or their voices at singing, you see. So, we had some of our other brothers whom you would have till then heard only from the bathroom. So, they would also be, you know, eager to show off their skills. Of course, they used to be very sincere in their practice, and we were, the two of us who have been selected as singers were the junior most. So, you know, we were a little bit apprehensive as to how to tell a senior that, you know, look, I think
it's out of
I think probably you should restrict your singing to the bathroom or something, no? But, of course, they, Swami also encouraged them to sing, so they did.
So on the mics?
On the mic, yes.
Oh my God.
Which was heard by a large audience is outside. That we didn't know. After 2 days we came to know that it's also heard outside.
So one of them, I think it was the second or third day, and the bhajan was Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram. Of course, but it was probably a very mild way of describing it would be, it was like a military monotone. So that, and at the end of the bhajan session, Swami was, you know, Swami used to ask, who sang this bhajan? That day he asked, Rama bhajan yavar padedi? So I had also sung a Rama bhajan, not this bhajan. So, you know, I sort of tried to get up indicating that I had sung a Rama bhajan. Then Swami said, no, no kadu. Inkokaru.
Not then, someone else.
Someone else. And he zeroed in on the boy who had sung. He said, no, I think you need to improve a bit. That's what Swami said. You will have to improve a bit. And the feedback was well taken. So this boy who had sung Hare Krishna Hare Ram, next day, very rightly so, he did not sing. And next day again, you know, Swami was asking who sang this. Then he looked at this boy, and he said, you did not sing, no, parledu, you have not sung today. Then actually this boy was feeling, oh God, because Swami said yesterday that I didn't sing well, probably I should have tried again today. I mean, with that kind of a feeling, he got up and said, Swami, yes, I didn't sing today. Then, you know, Swami broke into a laughter saying, "Acha ho gaya," and good, you didn't sing.
Very spontaneously.
So nicely he said.
He probably thought Swami missed his singing.
Yeah, exactly. And so, incidentally he was talking about that, you know, that the same boy, that military kind of thing, right? He was actually in the NCC before he came here.
So nicely Swami told, he was about to tell that Swami, oh, there is a demand coming from none other than Swami. And then Swami says, "Bahut acha kiya," that you didn't sing. It happened with everyone. So, Niranjan, will you tell yours or mine, and then
you tell yours.
It happened with me also. See, what happens is, again coming back to same point, Kodaikanal is his playground. See, if you have your suitability for singing will be under a severe test if it comes to places like Prashanthi Nilayam or Vrindavan. There are teachers.
You have to go through various levels of audition.
And there are practice, you know, net practice. In hostel you have to sing. And then you have to come to Mandir, and then
get physical permission,
be eligible
from
for the test match. Till then, this Ranji Trophy and other matches will go on in the But in Kodaikanal, Swami also likes to, it is like a talent party, you can say. And particularly in this particular trip, because there were only two singers, Swami gave chance to everyone, and everyone is supposed to sing.
Oh.
It happened like that. And so what happens is, we will also be active, you know. One more important point is, everyone will try his best to give his full throttle and effort. So afternoon, some boys will sleep, you know. So they will be also alert. They will go to bhajan hall and do practice. So we used to also, we did our own capacity practice. And a couple of times it clicked. And it happens because it is not our core competency, you know. So I also went apashruti and then I stopped singing. And many days Swami also didn't tell anything. And after a few days, because there was no one, no? So these bhajan boys only, they told, at least you take the follow mic, you be the follower. And that has to be heard outside, no? In Then I came to know my follow-up was more horrible than my lead, because that time I am not doing practice, no? So that is, let us leave it apart. Then I was having that follower's mic. And Swami sits in front and with his hand on the chin, and when the bhajans are going on, from the corner of eye, he is looking at me again and again. And then bhajan got over because I was, I didn't sing the lead.
So after every bhajan, no, Swami is wondering whether Nitin is going to start singing the next bhajan. Because there is a mic in front of him.
Whether he is going to sing now.
Then was the following mic.
The next, when the one singer, then other singer has to take over, no? Next, he felt like that perhaps, and I could also come to know that you know, the person comes to know that something is going on, the churning inside, something Swami is thinking about me. I also felt like that, and I later on came to know when we come back and then there'll be one more session before dinner, that whole session he was picking up everyone, like in case of Deepak Anand, which Karthik described. This time it was my turn. Swami asked, "Are aaj tum wapis mic le liya? You kept in front." And then he replied very wonderfully. He said, "Humko bahut dar ho gaye."
I was very scared.
Scared that, aro, ye wapis bhajan chalu kar raha hai, it may go in apashruti. I got scared that you are starting another bhajan or what.
Oh my God.
It was also a time when, of course, humor apart, Swami used to also explain the meanings of some of these bhajans. The bhajans could be very commonplace. I remember one day I had sung the bhajan Madhava Gopala. Then after the bhajan session, Swami asked, "Who sang Madhava Madhusudana?" He asked. So I was thinking Madhava Gopala is different from Madhava Madhusudana. So probably Swami is not referring to the bhajan I sang. So I kept quiet. Then Swami, very beautifully, for the first time I heard Swami humming the tune. Oh, Swami, I only sang the bhajan. Then I asked you whether you sang. Then I sort of understood that, okay, Swami means, when he says Madhava, he asked, "What is the meaning of the word Madhava?" I kept quiet. You know, this was a chance when we could hear from the Lord himself what the meaning of the word Madhava was. He said, "Madhava means master of Maya, master of Lakshmi, master of Prakriti." He said, it was so beautiful that, you know, you could hear, learn directly from Bhagwan what the meaning of the bhajan you were offering to him. So, apart from the humorous moments, there were also these moments of profundity.
It's all interspersed, when, you know. Yeah. That is what is the beauty of it.
Correct.
A lot of humor. At the same time, something like this, once in a while, which was so deep.
When it comes to singing in the mic, you should not attempt, unless you are really done that much of homework. I think that Swami was very clear.
Yeah. This trip, I'll tell you what, I mean, most of us who are not singers, like, you know, Karthik and even Vishu, you are a singer. So, I mean, you'll understand that. I mean, the first time we are singing, And your focus should be both on the mic, what I'm doing, as well as on the harmonium shruti. Because we practice so much on the shruti. But ultimately, when you come to the mic, no, none of us were able to match. It was all upper shruti. And Swami was very compassionate. I mean, he is so adjusting to all that. And still, he was giving the talam and all that was going on.
Yeah.
I think... I mean, we are all very fortunate, infinitely fortunate, like Swami gave us the opportunity, you know, because I remember asking Swami here, because I thought I had an okay voice, you know, I had not so bad.
Here I see another subtle point, that the leadership skills, being an MBA student, I see Swami as a leader and others as boss, you know. A boss in the same place, what would have happened is, aray, you have spoiled the show. Why you went to Apashruti, he may reprimand us, he may scold us. Whereas here, in spite of our, one thing is compassion, and second, in spite of and his love, that is a power of love, he makes that same situation into a humor. And suppose a boss, if he criticizes you or makes fun at you, you will feel offended. Whereas when a leader like Swami, he chooses you as an instrument to create humor, you will be, instead of feeling offended, you feel proud of it. Oh yes, I have brought laughter in this place, everyone is happy, everyone is laughing, including Swami.
He could have handled in any other way, but
Swami
chose humor to deal with it.
This is a beautiful way. Swami also used to talk about that. Once I think Swami was talking about people, how they complain, explain, inspire.
Oh, okay.
So he said, like what Nitin was talking, the boss.
Leaders.
He will complain. And he will put you in a different tone, you know, the way he talks. But Swami inspires and explains. So it, at the same time he explains as to how to do it, the same humor makes you feel okay. It's not, what I've done is not really, you know, every time it happens with everybody. Because all of us got into that, you know, non-singers anyway, got into that situation every day. So it's all okay. We are all doing some mistakes maybe, but we can improve. And explain the thing with some kind of profound meaning.
Yes.
As some bhajan or something like that. So that's a beautiful, like Nitin was talking about leadership. It's always that with Swami. It's
and
always that.
Swami used to inspire was, apart from bhajan sessions, he also used to ask each of us to give talks.
Okay.
I have never spoken in public. And how beautifully, and of course, you know, because each one of us was asked to talk on one day, I used to, you know, keep practicing, but there was always this tension. Then Swami looked at the two of us singers and then said, it is easy, you just have to speak for 10 minutes. You sing, you know, include four songs as part of your speech. So 8 minutes will be covered. You just have to speak for 2 minutes, you know. How beautifully he, you know, he simplifies the task for us. And, you know, inspires us to, even if this is not your core competency, do what you're good at. And then, you know, you just have to add a little more to it. And then
just that tip itself would have taken off the tension, no? Taken off 80% of the tension.
Yeah, true.
After that, it's easy, you know?
In fact, Swami asked all of us, as we sing, all of us to speak inside. Swami asked us to sing also inside. Not in the mic, but Swami wanted to hear us singing. That also happened. And when Swami asked me to speak, the same thing. I was supposed to speak for the first time. So a lot of tension, you know, when I was going around for the walk in the morning around the lake, I was practicing, frankly. And, you know, it was a lot of tension. And then finally, it went on very well. I probably made one, you know, somewhere I forgot, maybe for a fraction of a second, and I told something and I said, sorry, I meant this. So even that Swami pointed out. He said, why should you say sorry?
Oh.
I mean, that minute thing Swami was pointing out. The speech was okay. Swami was happy, but then he pointed out that. So it's a beautiful experience of correction at the same time inspiring. All the time.
I think it would have been so much to improve everyone's confidence levels.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone would have returned from the trip a different person in the refinement of their talents.
In every way, I feel we have improved after that trip. In every way.
Wow.
Physically, you know, how to interact with people, self-control, serving people, etiquette. I mean, philosophically, you get some
understandings. Wow.
And I still remember what Brother Karthik said in his talk there in Bhajan Hall.
Oh, wow.
I'll tell one nice story. And I was simultaneously, I was listening to his talk and seeing Swami's gestures. He spoke about why the avatar has come in this form, the avatar of love, in this attire, 5 feet 3 inches, not Ajana Bahu, not with weapons. If I mean, Swami Swami has told this. Karthik very wonderfully put it. Had I come with, you know, that Shankha, Chakra, in Gada, all these weapons, then people would have put me in a museum. Swami was feeling very happy about it.
That's what we have seen, you know, whenever Bhagwan asks us to speak, all he wants us that, you know, we share his message. That whole message, that little part of his message, whatever we have internalized, that is what we have to share from our own experience. And he never wanted us to have papers, isn't it? He never wanted that you should read out something. Just speak from the heart. Whatever you have understood, speak from the heart.
Yeah, he was very particular about that. Even here I have seen, he used to tell, oh, paper dekhi padta hai and all that. Even elders, one or two Swami commented.
Never like that.
I have known of instances when Swami has picked the pockets of students. No?
Yes.
So when the student goes to the mic to speak, he finds that there is no paper in his pocket, and he will see Swami with the paper that he is supposed to have in the podium.
Yes, that has happened with a student. Yes, amazing. And I think the Kodai sojourn has so many other elements to it, isn't it? It's just not being with Bhagwan inside the Sai Shruti under that one roof. You actually travel with Swami. He sends you on some excursions and you see Kodai Canal. You go for sightseeing. So what memories do you have of those events, Niranjan? Swami sends people for horse riding. Swami sends you for boating.
Yeah, in fact, we had gone on several such occasions. One is the hilltop bungalow.
Okay, yeah.
When Swami used to call it Birla House, I think. Something like that he used to call. So there we went, and other thing is a lot of these manifestations and creations, Swami's materializations used to happen in Kodai. One of the things what happened in hilltop bungalow, that Swami created a necklace, which is a most magnificent kind of jewelry. I've never seen anything like that before. And this was, Swami said, Hiranya Lingam.
Oh, wow.
It consisted of 1,008 lingams. Lingams, 1,005 lingams in the form of a necklace, in the form of a chain, small golden lingams.
Golden lingams.
Yes, and the three lingams, big lingams at the bottom with all vibhuti marks on the lingams. Studded with diamonds, all the three were studded with diamonds, 108 diamonds around the lingams.
Oh my God.
And Swami said that Lord Shiva had given this to Ravana.
Oh, wow.
And in fact, it was so beautiful that Swami had actually put it for a fraction of a second around his neck. But you know, all of us had these cameras and we are all the time clicking photographs, no? None of us could capture that.
Oh, nobody captured that.
Nobody has, as far as I remember, nobody has captured that moment when Swami
put it
on the neck and immediately removed within 2 seconds, he removed it.
Oh.
Of course, we captured the necklace as it is when Swami was showing it, but then we couldn't capture that. That is one thing which I remember. The other thing is horse riding. Of course, there was a very humorous thing about one of my classmates. And, you know, that guy, you know, quite fat, much more fatter than me. And
about then, 90 to 100 kgs.
Yeah, definitely around 100, 110, I would say.
Oh my God.
A huge guy, and he used to be a very good tabla player.
Okay.
And he used to be a tabla player in the bhajan group. And so what has happened is that guy, you know, we had one guest, IAS officer, who came with his kid, and Swami was showering a lot of affection on the boy. And Swami wanted this boy, my classmate, to take care of that particular small boy. And Swami said, you go for horse riding, you take care of him, but you don't sit on the horse. Otherwise, the horse cannot move.
No guram ekkaddu, Swami said.
No guram ekkaddu. You don't get on the horse. So that's one more thing I remember. We went for, of course, boating we went. And we went to, Swami was very excited about this suicide point. You know, I don't know what it was called. Cocker's Walk? Or
Cooker's Walk.
Cooker's Walk or something they call it.
Cooker's
Swami
walk.
Used to call it Suicide Point because it seems one or two people committed suicide from falling from there. I mean, long back it's a myth probably. So Swami said, poi chudandi, Cocker's Walk, poi chudandi and all that. And we went there and there was a waterfall somewhere. In some other
silver
place.
Silver Cascade.
Yeah, it used to be called Silver Cascade. Maybe the whole thing appearing like silver, maybe. Like a pillar of silver.
There were some standard places.
So we had some of these places we went where everything was arranged and it was like, we were like Swami's, you know, guests, you know, so it was a beautiful experience.
And every time, you know, he used to be eager to listen to what we felt about what we saw. So he used to wait for us to come back and we were also eager, I mean, of course, one thing is to see all these places, of course, the beauty of Kodai Canal is there. But then we were more than when we went to see these places, when we came back to Swami is when we used to come back running, no? And then we wanted to tell him about what we had seen. And so this very boy, who the tabla player who he was talking about, he came back running, after having taken this boy for horse riding. So he came back wanting to tell Swami that he's done that and to report to him. So he was panting for breath by the time he reached Swami. And when Swami asked him, okay, what is it about? He was still, panting for words, and then said, Swami, Odi Vande Swami. Odi Vande in Tamil means, I came running, Swami. Then Swami said, Adu Odi Lada body. You're so fat, that is why you're panting like this for breath.
The same boy whom Swami told, don't get on the horse.
So Swami will take every opportunity to create humor.
That sense of Swami's humor and playing with words.
It is very spontaneous.
It's very spontaneous.
Beautiful. It is spontaneous. You never expect that. And suddenly something comes out of the blue. Just like that. Everybody starts laughing and...
Oh my God. Fantastic.
In fact, I remember that other one when Swami went out for a ride, and it was so compassionate Swami is, that the cotton candy, which people used to sell there, and Swami had sent us to the Tibetan shops.
Yes.
So Swami gave us some money and then told us to go and buy something. Swami said, you should buy and come. You should buy compulsorily something from them, because they're not very rich people.
Oh, okay.
So you should buy. That's one of the things he said. And also when we came back, we saw a huge amount of candy was there, and we were all given, each one piece was given candy, the cotton candy. And Swami said, see, I stopped the car because I saw that cycle with a huge amount of cotton candy this fellow was selling. I bought the whole thing for my boys.
Wow.
And he said, see, that person is poor man, papam, so I got the whole thing.
And I think Swami also used to say, how for all those traders there, the small traders, this little season is when they make money
exactly.
For the
entire
year.
That's what actually he told. That is the only season. And it seems when Swami goes only, they have that kind of source of income.
That kind of
they
crowd.
They wait for his visit.
They wait for his visit. All the time, the Tibetan people, they wait for the visit. That's when they make some money, which sustains them throughout the year. Because in winter, nobody goes there.
Correct.
Very few people are there. Right.
Swami is very mindful of that. I think that's what, when we live with Bhagwan at close quarters, you really always see how he's all the time so concerned about others, right? So concerned about devotees. That facet of Bhagwan also you actually see, isn't it? Though here we see Bhagwan coming out and giving darshan for like half an hour or 2 hours. But actually when you are in Kodaikanal, if I'm not wrong, you actually see how Swami's mind is always on the devotees.
Definitely. Yeah. We have only seen devotees waiting for Swami elsewhere. But in Kodai, he will ask you to part the curtain ever so slightly. Because, he doesn't want to be
seen
before that. But, from where he can see the line of devotees waiting along the beautiful lake. So, he used to see, the devotees are waiting. I think I need to go for darshan. So, he is all the time, his mind is
on devotees.
In fact,
he used to tell one of our elders, 3 or 4 times, that I'm talking of the... Before the darshan, that 1 hour we used to sit around Swami. So 3 or 4 times he almost used to tell him to go and check whether devotees have come, whether they are all seated, because he's very eager to go out.
He's just waiting to go.
Waiting to go out. And Nitin was talking about some, the kind of leadership. I have seen one thing in Swami, he never thinks of himself. He's all the time thinking of others. And that's the most beautiful quality. Even if you imbibe maybe 1 millionth of that, I think we'll be much, much different than what we are. All the time thinking of others.
Here I would like to share some other additional experiences. We discussed about Swami's concern about providing hot water to boys, whether you had hot water bath or not. But couple of times it has happened that when Swami was independent, means particularly in these 90s only, that boys have the benefit of hot water, but not Swami.
Oh, is it?
He used to say that I had a cold water bath. Imagine in a place like Kodaikanal. And everyone takes care of all the other facilities, how boys are comfortable, but somehow it missed out that his own heater in his bathroom was not working.
Some problem was there.
So he was not concerned. He didn't even complain about it. And he had cold water bath. I remember in one of the visits, there was some earthing problem. We used to get shock in that tap.
My God.
So Swami got it right. Bring electrician and check the earthing and then set it right. But about his own, you know, inconveniences, he never used to complain.
Mm.
And he managed, he accommodated himself.
Yeah. After he said, after 1 or 2 days when he said this, I took bath in cold water, then only the other people came to know about it.
Mm.
Actually, he was sneezing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Correct, correct.
And then
he had some cold.
Mm.
That was when he said that he had bath in cold water. And another beautiful thing, when Swami used to ensure that we have our fair share of exercise, because, you know, so much of rich food and just to keep ourselves active, every morning he used to tell us when he used to go for darshan, he wanted us to take a walk around the lake and then come back. And he once mentioned that he always practices whatever he asks us to do. Then he said, this was going on in my mind. When Swami asked us to go for walks, I wonder what exercise Swami gets. So one of the sessions he said that, you may be thinking that, you know, I'm asking you to go for walk, what do I do? He said, he in his room, he walks around his bed.
Yeah.
Mm.
Even he said, everything that I tell you to do, I practice. And then only I tell you.
And also Swami was talking about those good old days in the 80s when he used to go for a walk himself outside around 5:30, to put a shawl and go. People would recognize Swami. That Swami he was telling once. That few days
he was very particular about his physique, you know, that not even a single kg should
he should not put on weight.
And my weight is 108 pounds. So anything extra, no, he will eat. See, boys are having sumptuous food 4 times in a day, which you cannot, you know, our stomach cannot take, our capacity is not that huge, but you have so much thing, so many things on platter. But for Swami, irrespective of whether he is in Vrindavan or in Prashanti Nilayam or even in Kudai, he will have only few morsels. And suppose when he goes to VIP's house, then they will pester Swami to eat more. At that time, he would, you know, to burn those calories, he would walk to and fro in his room. And the walking is the best exercise, they say, no?
That too, for our sake, he used to, Swami used to say that, I normally do not eat rice, but since all of you are eating, I also, just to give you company and so that you don't feel any difference, he also used to
the same food he
partake of, though in very, very, very small quantities.
And also in, I think, 2-3 times also, he sent that bowl to be, you know, that, you know, some small cut pieces of fruits to be served to all of us. I mean, after he has partaken few morsels of that.
He will give each and every boy, you know,
prasadam.
Prasadam.
Oh, but Nitya sir, you are saying you have actually seen Swami walking in his room.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, wow. And early in the mornings.
Mornings, evenings, particularly I saw it in the after dinner, in the
evenings. And Swami is, as you're saying, so particular about that 108 pounds. And that's a great lesson, isn't it, for all of us? You know, how
I think I have shared that, you know, 108 pounds, one story. Shall I tell you?
Please, please.
This, because it is important, because there are some, you know, I have seen some websites also where it is written that physically, if you measure your own weight, no, it goes up and down. So early morning, if you see, your weight will be less. By the afternoon or in the night, no, there will be at least one and a half kilo.
The moon also affects, they say.
So how can Swami say that his weight is always constant? I'll give one potent example, which I watched through my own eyes. It was in Vrindavan. That day, that year, Swami has not gone there. This was in 2001. So we had graciously called to dine along with him, and this was afternoon time, 1 o'clock or so. And Mrs. Ratanlal, she, like her motherly, you know, love towards Swami, she told Swami, your weight has gone down, and now you are in Vrindavan, this time for you to regain that weight. Then Swami told, no, no, my weight is constant, I have not put on weight, see, like that he showed to his belly. Then she kept on telling, no, no, Swami, your weight has gone down, you eat one more idli. Then Swami was, he is very particular, and he avoided it. Then Swami only asked, you want to see the proof, you bring weighing balance. And then we are seeing there, then Swami stood on that weighing balance. It was that pound analog scale. It was not even that one fraction here and there. Neither this plus or neither minus. Exactly 108.
Oh, wow.
This is Vrindavan in May 2001. Because I had gone there with some other problem of mine, in leg problem. So that time, 108 exact. Then I had a doubt. Oh, whether this instrument is the doubt is always always high. Will it always show? So Swami went for getting ready for darshan. Then we all took our chance to see. Everyone is measuring some 175, 180. Our own weight it is showing. Then that was a great lesson that this instrument is perfect. We, the instrument of Swami, are not perfect.
Not perfect.
And Swami is always perfect at 108 pounds.
And that too, in 2000, Swami is
75.
Yes. At 70.
108 exact.
Wow.
What he says no is truth.
Absolutely
truth. Whatever he says becomes a truth. You can say, if not today, it is bound to happen sometimes in future.
In future. Wow. Amazing. So dear listeners, such are the profound moments with the Lord in His divine proximity. And there is so much more to it which will continue in the coming week. You are listening to Brother Nitin Acharya, Niranjan and Karthik. In the next episode of Outside Inside Deep Inside, you will listen to the final part of this discussion, and in that they share more about such interactive moments with Swami inside Sai Shruti, as well as how it was when the curtain finally fell on this wonderful blessing from Swami. And even though so many years have rolled by, what still stays with them, and how those moments of learning have now become such tremendous reservoirs of inspiration, energy and grace. So we will listen to them again in the coming week. Meanwhile, do share with us what you felt about this program. As always, you can write to a listener at radiosai.org. Thank you so much for being with us throughout this program and throughout the day. We offer our loving salutation to Bhagwan for this wonderful opportunity of reliving His love and sharing His message. Thank you so much. Sign off.